right? We're not on yet. But, huh, that's weird. I wonder if, no, it does say 9 o'clock. Yeah. It's saying 5 minutes. That doesn't make any sense. There we are. All right. It just didn't refresh. Okay. So we will make sure that, yep, we're good. All right. We're here again. This is More of Less. That's what I've, that's what I've named the show.
I had more, a nickel.
Yeah. I wish it could be more or less, but, you know, it's More of Less, and we're going to wait till, you know, the audience streams in for this, because this is the follow-up to the election special we had on Monday night after the polls closed, or at least the polls in Les's riding had closed, and there were still, you know, some polls open in the west part of Canada. But let me just go right here. And we've got some people in the audience, and hopefully they will let us know that we're coming through loud and clear so we can proceed. And that was Monday the 28th. And of course, that was last month. Already it's May. It's May 2nd. Yeah, Shameless Wiseass is here. He says, morning, gents.
Morning, Shameless Wiseass.
And he's out in, I think, Alberta.
Yeah, I think he said Calgary, I believe, if it's a mm-hmm. gentleman, yeah.
Yes. And, of course, he wrote in his candidate, remember?
That was beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, so I guess, you know, we'll pick it up from where we left it off on Monday, and that was that I think you had something like, was it like 30-something, almost 40 votes? Is that right?
Yeah, if you'd like me to pop the screen up for us.
That would be great, yeah.
Using the technology that you
yes, here. Awesome.
Okay. Election night results. So it should be the one right there. I believe, I can't see it. My eyes aren't so good, but. Yep, that's the one. That's the local one. Oh, by the way, the other independent, Mike Lance, congratulated me, and I, you know, congratulated him on being the leading independent, and I said he was the best of the best, and also said that he was a class act. So that was nice to see.
Wow. Now, which person was this? You said
Mike Clancy, the independent that was the top independent.
I see, the one right above. So he beat you by 28 votes.
He did.
That one, yeah. So.
If I'm going to get beat by someone, at least it's a nice guy, so that's good.
Right, exactly. I'm sure all of the independents are nice people. That's why they're independents. And the People's Party, well, if you look at the percentage, right, you've got that Larry Brock, whoever the hell that is, the Conservative Party, he got over 50%. Then you got
he's
the
a
Liberal.
Former Crown prosecutor.
Oh, is so he?
He'd gladly throw you in jail for speech violation.
Right, unless you were a minority, then he would reward you. Liberal Joy O'Donnell got about 40% of the vote. So that's not, they weren't too far away from one another. New Democratic Party got not even 4% of the vote. Green Party didn't even get 2%. And the People's Party couldn't even get 1%. So it's probably, I guess, representative across Canada, right?
It's pretty much, it pretty much is, Dave, yeah.
What did, do you know what the Conservatives got across Canada, the total?
Well, maybe we'll use the magic of, how do I get out of this now?
You mean out of this page? You just stop sharing, I guess.
Hang on, here we go.
Yeah, or you can click on national, right?
I'm by yourself right now for season.
Could you have just clicked on national there, Liz, on that page?
I'm gonna do that.
Well, you could do it while it's up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And here's national. Here we go.
Okay.
So conservative got 140. Conservative. It says conservative, but conservatives, plural, 144.
That's not up yet, Liz.
No?
No, it didn't come up yet.
Oh, hang on. Let's just see then. I'll take it back to here. Pardon me. There we go. National.
Let's see if it's going to come up. Okay. Yep, there it is. Yeah, so next time all you got to do is keep this page up and just click on whatever it is that, you know, you want to go to.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes. Okay, so liberal, it looks like they got 43.7, and conservative got 41.3. So it was pretty close. They got them by about 500,000 votes. And
yeah. Wow.
Yeah. And then the New Democratic Party, it looks like 1.2 million votes. People's Party, 141. When they say independent, that means all the independents lumped together?
Absolutely.
Yeah. The Animal Protection Party. Yeah, whatever that is. Let's see. Green Party. About 250,000. And People's Party, not even 150,000. So those are the big ones there. Green Party, Conservative, Liberals, the Bloc Québécois. I guess that's like a French party, right?
It is. It's the separatist party.
Right. That's pretty cool. 1.2 million. They actually almost tied with the New Democratic Party, which is interesting. 1.32 or almost 1.33, or I'm sorry, 1.233 versus 1.237. So just by 5,000 votes, that separated them. Interesting.
There's a lot of people that live in Quebec, right? And they really back that party. Now, I don't think everybody that votes for them are separatist.
Right.
But they like that Quebec first kind of thing. And, you know, just kind of like we like Canada first. A lot of Quebecers are nationalists, by the way, but I think they're just protesting against the other parties. They're actually fortunate to have someone else to vote for in huge numbers.
Yes. 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 So the chat is here, and I'll tell you, Les, what's happening. I see the chat. I guess if people don't see the chat, they need to refresh. And we've got, I said, Shameless said, morning, gents. Thomas Dwyer says, good morning. Lisa from Germany says, good morning. Good afternoon, Les Borey, Dave Gary, Shameless Wise says, don't want to miss you guys. Even changed my plans to join you. Thank you. So we have got our friends and family in there in the chat.
It's real nice. I'm glad someone made the time to watch the show. It's nice.
Sure. Sure. So after we hung up, what happened? You paid attention to the polls? Were you up all night? Or
I didn't stay up that much later. I just went to bed and I got up and I had 120 votes in the morning. So that was my total. It's about average. It's not.
Right. But I mean, at least there's 120 people out there who voted for you, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So it could have been a lot less. And it's going to be a lot more, right? In the next election. Yeah.
I believe obviously. It is. I've already started to contact some people, starting to get the wheels rolling slowly. Like, we're not talking like, you know, the captains of industry here, but we're talking about some people. So we'll see how it works out.
Yeah, so people who have like some influence and
Although there might be a captain or two of industry in this thing, so we'll see
really?
How it goes.
Oh, that would be great, man. Awesome. So did you go out to celebrate after Monday?
No, just took it easy. I'm grateful for the 120 votes because I know what it is. So yeah, that's what it is. Basically,
right.
Yeah, we're almost spectators when the whole country tries to beat each other up, kind of like they polarize themselves into two camps. It almost turns into like a little America up here. You know what I mean? Where it's like two parties, right? Not like the five or six plus the independents. So we just sit back and just watch the turmoil and just hope that they don't destroy us, these two groups, right? Which they are trying to do.
Well, they are. They are destroying.
Doing a good job, by the way, wrecking us. Yeah.
Oh yeah, this guy, Carney, right? I guess that's an appropriate name because a carney is somebody who works in a carnival. So this carney, that we played a video yesterday that I think it might have been Shameless got for us during the show with James Mason. And I didn't know, I saw the message after the show ended, because what happens is there are some messages that don't make it through, you know, while the show is what's called encoding. So it's getting archived. And then what I do is I go back and I get those messages and put them in the archive. And one of them was that this guy who was talking was Trudeau's brother, who he called Justin Castro, because there's talk of Trudeau being the son of Fidel Castro.
There is a striking similarity between Justin Trudeau and Fidel Castro in this one photograph. I doubted it at first as well, but I saw the comparison. I went, wow. That's quite a coincidence. There's, you know.
Hey, you never know. I guess a DNA test might, you know, could, you know, settle that if we could believe in DNA tests. He was talking about Carney is hot on the central bank digital currency. And as a banker, I guess he would be prone to push that in Canada. And of course they frame their whole platform, or not platform, but their whole strategy, their electoral strategy around Donald Trump, that, you know, we have to fight Trump. You know, Trump's gonna try to take us over, all the tariffs, and of course the dumbass Canadians fell right in line. Not all of them, of course, but a good number of them, probably the majority of them, because they move in a stupid herd mentality because they're morons. And they, you know, yeah, they, there was this one video. Actually, let me see if it's there. It's funny because I wasn't able to play it on the show yesterday. I tried. Oh, here, let's see if we can do it. But then it started to work. You know, I guess this might be representative of the way that these Canadians are affected by, you know, the bullshit. Let me see if I could get that up here. Let's see if I can make it bigger.
I saw this clip yesterday on your show. I watched a bit of it with James Mason.
Yeah, we couldn't play it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But basically, the caption pretty much says what she says.
Yes. Let's see if we can get her.
Strong person so that we could stand strong. I think who I voted for would be the best to take care of Trump, because Trump is, I'm sorry to say, an ass, and he shouldn't even be president of the United States. But because he is, we need a strong person so that we could stand strong. I think
that's the thing, man. I mean, these idiots, they just buy into what the media is telling them and what the policy. I mean, you know, what's amazing is somebody like that, that's an older lady, right? So that's probably in her 70s or 80s. You would think that after all these decades, of seeing the reality of the media and the politicians that maybe they might think, you know, maybe they're lying to me, right? But completely oblivious, caught up in the moment, buying everything that they're selling, hook, line, and sinker. The reason for Canadians' problems are Donald Trump. I mean, this has got to be something, I guess, that you will, you know, put into the equation for your next run in about 4 years, that, you know, maybe the message has to be, you know, tinged with, you know, bullshit, you know, to reach the idiots like that lady.
Well, that'd be a hard thing for me to do, Dave, to add a little bullshit to my message. I think that would be going against the grain there. You know, that's not my style at all. You know, I get the Machiavellian angle on things. You know what I mean? The way the world should work and the way the world does work. I understand these two differences, yes. And I get it. I totally get that. But no, we're going to definitely do some, as a psychedrilla called it, some normie whispering. And that's what we're going to do. And that's, you know, I had a conversation with a gentleman on the phone, and he spent some time, not in motorcycle clubs, but he observes the behavior. And when members of that club bring heat down on their own club, basically, you know, attract the unwanted attention, they're dealt with, or they're, you know, there's a reason for that. And us folks that want to increase the size of our movement, and I've noticed on FTJ, you guys have been doing a better job at that. You know what I mean? Where it's, you're doing some more normie whispering, right? And it's good to see, you know, it's good to speak your mind, but other people are watching. If we want to attract more regular folks and increase those numbers, like, there's no reason that the people that are trying to save humanity shouldn't have a huge backing. And that's us. And I think Davis Lerman said it as well. White people need the moral high ground. And I thought that was an intelligent thing to say. So if we give the people the moral high ground, we can do a lot better. And we're doing pretty good now. I mean, we are taking on the enemies of humanity. People need to understand the context of what is being said and why it's being said and things like this. But for normal people, we don't want to scare them away at the first glance, you know. And that's the thing. So, right? So, yeah.
Yeah, I want to scare them away.
Well, out of the country would be different. You know, the word, you know, without violence, of course, but you know what I'm saying. Then we'd have a lot less problems. There is a truth to that for sure. But we definitely want to attract potential helpers and convince them that what we're doing is very, very good, which it actually is. There's nothing finer than trying to save humanity from the Zionists. And we're trying to prevent the whole world from looking like Gaza. So I think that's a pretty high calling, Dave. And I think we shouldn't have a hard time selling that to people. I know. It's not as fun. It's true. Yeah, I know. I went to jail for speaking the other way. I got that.
Yeah.
Even though I shouldn't have gone to jail for what I said, I don't think
no,
I should.
No, you shouldn't have. No.
But that's what it is, because even under the law, I feel like I'm innocent of at least 3/4 of the charges I was convicted of. So, you know. That's another story. We'll talk about that later. Yeah.
How much time is left until you're off probation?
I don't know. What, are we down to about 10 months now?
Nice.
The thing is, the probation is just to prevent me from breaking the law, I suppose. And obviously, that's very subjective to what, you know, people's motivations are. It's not even like subjective to the truth. These people can make things up just by me existing. They might consider that a hate crime. These people, they're kind of cooked, right?
Well, so. They're not people, but yeah, I know what you're saying. Okay. So the way that it is now is that the liberals got more votes, as we saw. And is Carney definitely in that position, or does something else have to happen to get him in that position.
No, he's the prime minister right now.
But do they vote for him, or it's automatic, like you said?
Oh, it's automatic, yeah. Generally, the party picks the leader, and that's how it works.
So if the party was at odds with that choice, then they might have vocalized it publicly, or they would have done it behind closed doors?
A little bit of both, I would think. Just have to look back to see what happened when Trudeau got ousted, we'll say. Basically, there was a rebellion against him in his own party, and he stepped down. And then Carney, you know, showed up, and he won the leadership campaign, the leadership race, right? So now he's the prime minister of Canada, and that's how it works. There's no people don't vote directly for the prime minister. Like, there's no special place in the ballot just to choose the name of the prime minister. You choose the party, and that's how it works in Canada.
Gotcha. I'm just curious. I just want a list of the largest economies in the world, right? Okay. It looks like, let's take a look at this. Because I think a lot of people look at Canada as kind of like, you know, I guess that's why Trump, you know, was doing this whole 51st state thing, because they look at it like a state, not like a country. Let's take a look at the list of countries by gross domestic product, right? And you could see, obviously, the United States is, and this is, I think, 2025. Yeah. Largest economies in the world. 2025, the United States clearly in the lead, followed by China. Not closely followed by China. And then you could see Germany, India, Japan, UK, France, Italy, and then Canada, and then Brazil. I mean, that's obviously in the top 10, right? So Canada is in the top 10. It's number 9. It's behind Italy by a bit and ahead of Brazil by a bit. I wouldn't expect Brazil to be there. I wouldn't have thought India would be as close to Germany as they are, because Germany is a powerhouse. I wouldn't have thought the UK would be in that position. I would have thought they would have been lower, if these numbers are correct. But do you think that even though Canada is in the top 10 GDP, do you think that many, many people around the world consider Canada like more of a state than a country?
I think we're looked on like we're a country, a proper country, although we're run poorly. That's an interesting chart that we're just looking at, by the way. When you think about the GDP versus the population, you'd think that's the amount of wealth that each person would have, like the country's GDP divided by the number of people. So the United States of America is in very good shape on that chart. I know there's a lot of poverty there. I know it's hurting pretty bad. But, you know, for the amount of people in America versus the amount of people in China, it seems like the American people have a lot more commerce or a lot more money moving around than China does for the amount of people they have. China's probably got about 3 times the population of America. And their GDP is, I don't know what it was maybe 10 or 20%.
Well, it's up there. You could see.
Oh, there it is, the numbers. Yeah. I thought it was the bar chart. Right. Basically, yeah. So, yeah. So it's a third smaller in GDP than the United States, despite the fact that it's got 3 times more people. So you think that should be an indication. Like, I know that, I'm not trying to say that everybody should have wealth distributed evenly. But as far as opportunity goes, it seems like the United States of America is still the land of opportunity, even though it's shit right now, just like the rest of the world, because it's run poorly. It's still the best one there is, I think, considering the ratio of people to the GDP, right? And Canada is 10 times smaller than America. So our GDP is just a bit, it's more like China's, I'd say, in relation to America's, when you count in the amount of people that we have here. Right.
Right. So, and what's the population of Canada again?
About 40 million, right?
40 million.
We're almost 10% of your population, but our GDP is less than 10% of yours.
Well, you're more than 10% of our population.
Just slightly, So I think we're underperforming a little bit regarding that. Now, the GDP can mean a lot of things as well. If you have a flood or a natural disaster or, you know, a bad event that costs your nation a lot of money, that's calculated into your GDP. The GDP isn't always positive commerce taking place. It can be negative things too, right?
Right. Well, that's exactly right. So, you know, even though you can look here and it shows 2022, 2023, 2025, and it's been increasing for the United States, the share of wealth is not trickling down to the middle class.
A lot of times in America, you know, just like Canada, it's a shithole. Basically, it's going down the drain big time. And it's, you know, the people got to pull up a little bit and start paying more attention to their economy and the true causes of what's going on. And even if you exclude the wizard behind the curtain, people should know what the actual mechanisms of their economy are and what's harming them. And interest rates are harming America. Also, the fact that America's been farming out a lot of work to these countries, just like we have, right? So they've got to bring back the manufacturing base as well. And taxation's a complete fraud. If you back currency with labor, taxation shouldn't even be in the picture. So America's got to pull up a bit, just like Canada. Everything I say about Canada, it applies to America pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not going to happen, though, because obviously more and more the wealth is accumulating in the hands of the few. So the whole GDP thing is a farce. It's GDP for them, not for the people like it used to be. Let's just scroll down here. We know Canada is, at least according to these figures, in ninth place, then Brazil, then Russia, Spain, South Korea, Australia, Mexico. That's surprising. Mexico in 15, Turkey, Indonesia, Netherlands, Saudi Arabia. Obviously, if they didn't have the oil, they wouldn't be there. Poland, Switzerland, Taiwan, Belgium, Argentina, Sweden, Ireland, Israel. Yeah, it's a good thing they get all the money from around the world, squeezing the money out of countries. Singapore, UAE, again, without oil, I don't think it would be anywhere near that level. Thailand, Austria, Norway, Philippines, Vietnam, Bangladesh, Denmark. It's amazing if you think about this, right? I mean, if you think about like the population of some of these countries like India and South Korea, and with South Korea, I would have thought they would be a lot higher because they're a powerhouse. Indonesia, like I said, they don't really count because without oil, they'd be gone. Taiwan, all of these Asian countries and Southeast Asian countries, many of them still can't beat the tiny populations of, for example, the Czech Republic, which has a population of about 10 million, or South Africa, which obviously almost all of the wealth is in the hands of the whites. Denmark, right? Norway. How many people are in Norway? I mean, and they're number 31. Austria, Ireland, Sweden. I mean, obviously, it's, you know, it doesn't have to do with the population. It has to do with the brains, the IQ.
India's numbers are shocking.
Say that again?
India's numbers are shocking.
Yes.
They're shockingly low. Wow.
Yes.
I saw that video you showed from yesterday's show. Wow, that was something else.
Oh, yeah. And that wasn't done by flood. Some folks thought that was done by flood. I asked him, and he said he didn't do that. But he certainly could do something like that. But that was not him. So let's go back to the chat real quick, because we don't want to neglect the audience. And we have a question. Oh, wait, before we get to the question. Simple WN is here. He said, hi, everyone. The entire Commonwealth is Jew-owned. Yes, I believe that. There are obviously Goyim who, you know, are also wealthy, but they're tools of the eternal enemy. Lisa from Germany says, may I ask Les Borey, what is your take on that? What would you tell Canadians who are about to lose all hope? And here's the quote. Have you heard of this this person, Andrew Sprague?
No, I've never heard that name before, as far as I can recall.
Yeah. Let's see. Andrew Sprague. Well, it's a football player. So let's see what else. I don't know. I don't know who it is. But
well, I don't think people should lose hope. I'm a realist. I know things are bad. Right now, we're just creating a movement to really fix things in Canada. I know it's unusual for the little guy like me to actually have a say in political matters, but I've already created a bit of difference in Canadian politics, believe it or not. Just a few lawn signs I noticed backed off some messaging on the media, because they don't lie as hard when they know that people might be not believing what they're saying. When they doubt what they're saying, they lose confidence in what they're saying, because what they're saying is actually not true. So it took a few lawn signs to walk the enemy back. I noticed the messaging changed, and with a few videos that I posted on BitChute, and just telling people about the political situation in Canada. So I think that the enemy is very fragile. I know they have a lot of terrorist police at their disposal to use as they wish, but they still have to mind their manners, because the Canadian public, if pushed in, like, you know, too obviously, they might turn on these people. So they have to be sneaky still. And that's why they have these countermeasures in place legally to prevent us from speaking our minds. They're still very vulnerable to good messaging. And that's why I plan on bringing that to the Canadian people. I'm going to give them a good positive message. And they're going to be doing the right thing when they vote for me. And they're going to know that. And then we're going to fix our country. So we'll see what happens. But never lose hope. Even if you're the last one, there's still hope.
I'll read that quote, and then you can answer that hope question. Before we do, Lisa says, in reference to the GDP information, and Germany's economy is now systematically being destroyed once again by the same vile U.S. Jewish Zionists in power. Germany, a speck of land, half the size of Texas left. And she says, Poland, 20th. Polish squatters on ancient German territories illegally occupied, stolen Prussia, Pomerania, Silesia, all were centers of a booming economy, trade, and commerce, most fertile soil. Of course, that's why they did it. Okay, here's the quote, Les, and it ends with the word you. All right?
All right.
Canada isn't broken. It's dead. It wasn't an election. It was a bloodless coup. Mark Carney didn't win anything. He was installed, dropped into power like a parasite in a corpse by the same bloated globalist system that's been choking this country to death for years. A man who doesn't even pay Canadian taxes, who hasn't lived like a real Canadian in decades. A World Economic Forum puppet who serves banks, not people, and now sits on a throne made of lies, betrayal, and blind obedience. He smiles while he guts our economy. He lectures us on climate from his private jet. He talks about sustainability while eating off the backs of working Canadians. And the worst part? It worked. The zombies voted for it. The weak complied. The cowards lined up for their next booster and proudly helped bury what was left of this country. You got your puppet. You got your leash and you clapped while they killed this country. You sold out Canada and called it progress. You handed over your freedom, your land, your children, and your grandkids just to feel safe for a little longer. So enjoy what you built. Don't look for sympathy when it all burns. You won, and may it destroy you.
Wow. Is that Revelations?
Andrew Sprague, whoever that is, what's your take on that?
Well, there's a lot of truth in what the man said. We did make a great wall. Not we, the people that voted for Carney and Poilievre made huge mistakes. And all they're doing is voting back in what, you know, pretty much got us almost all killed with vaccines and, you know, and with the economic terrorism that these guys bring, it doesn't help us at all. Doesn't help to make us a stronger nation, you know, nice picture. And all they're doing is just electing the same wizard behind the curtain, no matter who they vote for when it comes to voting for the larger parties. There's a saying that when you learn something the hard way, you learn it well. And Canadians may learn a lesson very well if they ever come out of this. I know right now they seem real dumb. And I agree. Well, I wouldn't call them Canadians, by the way. If you're voting for Mark Carney or Pierre Poilievre, basically you're a communist and you just don't know it. You're not a Canadian. You're not my brother. In the future, that could change. And I believe in redemption. And a lot of us in this movement, including myself, we had other views before we learned a couple things. And once you learn a couple things in about the politics that, you know, you vote for, you'll change your voting habits, or you won't vote at all. If there's nothing to vote for, then don't vote and don't condone what these guys are doing. And I recommend that. But if you see something good to vote for, you know, crawl through broken glass to vote for that, because it's going to be worth your while. So don't get blackpilled. These guys want you to give up. The bad guys want you to give up, and don't do it. Just keep working, keep keeping yourself alive, try and stay healthy. Don't get all hooked on drugs, and you know, just try and keep yourself going. I know there's a real long stretch of bad times ahead. I'll see what I can do to change things, and a lot of Canadians are going to join me, and we're going to have a lot of help I see in the future. I really do believe this. So keep your head up. It's not over yet. This is our darkest hour. There's no doubt about it.
I think the reason for that post, or the reason Lisa posted it, was to highlight the idiots in Canada. You know, changing the minds of idiots, like, you know, that saying, you can't fix stupid, right? Changing the minds of idiots is, you know, it probably would take many lifetimes. So I think that was what perhaps Lisa and Andrew Sprague were talking about. This image that's up there is perfect. It's from Thomas Dwyer. And that kind of says it all. I mean, some of those organisms actually even look like that. Floods Manager says, seems like the clock is off. I am 30 minutes late instead of early. Not that I hate the lack of time zone tracking. I think the clock is showing right now 9:38, and that's Central Time. So we go by Central Time here at FTJ, so I don't know if that had any effect on what you're talking about. I'm sorry you were late. Shameless Wiseass put up a video. Let's take a look at it. And he said, check out these Canadian zombies. Okay, so let's check out these Canadian zombies. All right, and we will play it here.
Since we're going to be talking about preparing for a time of crisis, we have a brand new sponsor,
All Donald Trump Jr.
They're cutting through the red tape to get it.
And something else. All right, terrific. Thank you. We're almost done. Yeah. Great. Thanks. Here we go.
Woo-hoo! Canada, you chose hope over hate, unity over division.
Trump, take note. This is what democracy looks like.
Mark Carney is the leader of Canada and what the world needs right now.
Someone that's ready to stand strong against Trump and defend democracy.
Tonight, Canada sent a message. Tyranny doesn't win here. Fear doesn't win here. Division doesn't win here.
Canada just proved it to the world. We chose strength. We chose unity. We chose each other.
We're proud, we're hopeful, and we're just getting started.
Are you happy with the result? Woohoo!
How are you going to reach these people?
I haven't seen anybody like that since people got fat tattoos.
No, seriously. How are you going to reach them? That's the question.
Wow, man.
How would you reach? Know. Yeah.
I don't know if I can do that, Dave. I don't know if I can. I can reach people like that. They seem like they're pretty into it. So. Yeah, they're in pretty deep, these people. I don't think I can pull them out. I don't know. That's that's pretty bad. You know, yeah. That's not hopeful, no. No, not at all.
But aren't most of Canadians like these organisms?
They're polarized. They think that voting for the blue guy, which, a lot of people do. It was almost half and half, right? They're just as bad as these people are. They just don't get it, you know? They're amazingly brainwashed. And I came from a background of that too, like a little bit. I grew up in a family that voted for the parties, right? I know like Monica Schaefer as well. We both learned as we went. And, you know, it is possible for people to pull up. And so, but these people, I don't know. I'm not going to spend a lot of time trying to fix them. I'll tell you that right now. That's pretty much, if it was a car, you'd be sending that to the, to the recycling yard to have it melted down with the scrap, scrap and or you don't understand, right? Basically, you got to start over on that one, right?
Yeah, but I mean,
sometimes rework takes more than making the part all over again as a machinist. You know what I mean?
Right.
So yeah, so these people, they need to be born again or something. I don't know what's with these people because they're not they're defective.
Well, these are the ones who actually went in front of a camera to voice their views. The vast majority wouldn't do that, but they still feel the same way that these things do. This video, let's see, it only got 286 views 2 days ago, but if you look at the, I don't know if it's still up, but here, let's take a look at the comments.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah. So if you look at the comments, you can see. Was that an ad for Prozac? Is inbreeding legal in Canada? So, yeah, there you go. You get the leaders you deserve. Yes. Beam me up, Scotty. These would be my neighbors if I didn't live in a rural area.
And even still, you see that? Yeah, because the rural people are going to vote for the blue party, the poof party.
Yeah, yeah. The white race is doomed in Canada. Yeah, it's this is, I think, you could have the best message, and I'm not trying to discourage, that, Les. I'm just telling you what I think. You could have the best message in the world, but, when you're confronted with, this level of absolute ignorance.
Wow.
And, it's just like, forget about them even listening to, what, I don't know if they were joking, there's a possibility that that was satire, that they're one of us and they're going, whoa, he's the greatest, But that there's people out there who think like that.
Sure.
When you were pounding the pavement and pressing the flesh, did you come across anybody who, said, get out of here, you're evil, you're no good. I'm voting for Carney or Poof. Pierre Poof. Did
most people were very, very nice. There was one person only that when she asked me what my name was, and I told her what it was, and then she said no and closed the door, and that's all there was. That was just to get my signatures. So, and that happened in the past as well when I, you know, I made the statement back in the day that I declared, you know, those Jewish groups that want to throw us in jail, the terrorist groups, I called them the Lampshade Mafia, right? So, you know, I had a couple of people look at me funny for that. Other than that, everybody, just about every single person was warm and considerate. Even the people that declined to sign because they don't vote, they're very polite, real decent. And I was decent with them too. I'm trying to plant seeds for the future as well, right? So I know better than to alienate people that you know, that we can help. Not so much like, I'm tempted to, you know, alienate the people that are already alienated, but I save my energy for doing good instead. You know, I mean, I'm starting to learn. I'm starting to show a bit of restraint, which generally speaking, I'm a pretty easygoing guy anyway. I'm definitely a hard fighter when it comes to fighting for my country's freedom, but there's a way to go about it in my position. And, I'm going to try and stay on that road because I think that's the road to success, right? And if people associate with me in the future, it'll be a good thing, not a bad thing.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for that wonderful video, Shameless. And Shameless says, that's the average views on my BitChute. Okay. Oh, that's your BitChute. Okay, cool. Your channel. Floods manager, holy hell, get out some violins. Don't know what that means, but.
Violins?
Maybe. I don't know. Let us know what that means, floods manager. Dave Gahary, how to reach President Bori privately about political strategy. Thank you, sir. Les, do you want to give out a way for folks to get in touch with you?
Sure. What, right here? Like, I don't care. MapleParty@yahoo.ca. That's my email address.
Say it again.
I'm not done learning. I'm not dead yet. So, you know, I appreciate the advice from knowledgeable people or even a good guess. Hey, who knows? So, yeah.
Could you say it again, please?
It's MapleParty@yahoo.ca.
Thank you. All right. Good. Okay. Bushmaster 6A is here. He says, good day, gentlemen.
Good day.
All right. Floods manager says to Shameless Wise Ass, thanks for the cheer up. Yeah. Looks like AI commenting. Does AI comment now on videos? Interesting.
Well, we'll probably do that soon enough. I saw the whose show is it on now? I think it was Giuseppe's show. They had Hulk Hitler. That was pretty good, I've got to say.
And it's what was it? Like
Hulk Hitler. You should see it. It's actually quite good.
Hulk Hitler.
I thought I'd be watching, and they said, the person asked me, is this for real? Is this Hulk Hogan? But it was Hulk Hitler with Mean Gene Okerlund. I remember the names from, I never watched Must Wrestling, but I am aware of who they are.
Hulk Hogan, I guess, right?
Quite good. It was amazing. Yeah. And you know, if you didn't know it was AI, you wouldn't know.
Right, yeah. They're getting better. And G has some great stuff on his show. And, I got to take a look at that. So let's go back to the chat and see if anybody has any questions. Okay, I read that to you. That was the question that Lisa had. Nothing yet. So let's get back into the, you know, the Canadian election, right? What are you going to start? You're going to start running now, I guess, right?
I'm organizing a team right now not as we speak, but I've been contacting people. Like I said, I made a few contacts in jail. Also, people have reached out to me, you know, from the community as well. Not too many, but there's been a little bit here and there. So I know that people want real change. And I'm going to give it to them, even at the expense of my own life. I mean, this is what you do in a war like this. I mean, there's little kids getting killed in Gaza all the time, and we're taking on the same people here, the supporters of Israel. And, they don't care about people. They just want to further their own cause. That's my opinion on that. And, you know, and I believe in it so strongly that I'm going to vote to change our country and make sure that the tentacles of Israel and all these other people that want to interfere in our affairs don't reach into Canada.
The that video of those zombies, what number would you, you know, hazard a guess at that, you know, the population or the electorate, the population of the electorate are like those?
Are that regions. Polarized?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, Dave, maybe 20%, maybe 30 are that polarized, like that adamant. Like I said before, a lot of people vote strategically. They don't really have faith in the people that they vote for, but they just don't want the other guys to win. So they're voting against things instead of voting for very positive things. And they're voting against like the most negative things. They are, in fact, choosing what they think is the lesser of the two evils.
Right. That's why they, you know, they use Trump as the boogeyman to literally run their campaigns on. They ran their campaigns on Trump.
Exactly. They didn't run it on a platform of improving our lifestyle here in Canada or our safety or, you know, improving the amount of freedom that we have. They hardly address those issues at all. And that's how maybe that's what Trump's job might have been in the global picture, on the global theater, the Zionist stage, was to create that kind of a boogeyman to distract Canadians from what's really going on. That could have been something that, you know, was planned ahead of time.
So you're saying that you think that there's a possibility that Trump or the people around Trump conspired with the parties in Canada to have Trump say something like, we want Canada as a 51st state. We're going to hit them hard with tariffs, because they knew that the zombies would respond the way they did. Is that what you're saying?
It's entirely possible. I can't say anything for sure, Dave.
No, I know, but do you actually?
Yeah, I don't.
You actually think that that's you know, plausible?
Yeah, like I'm not a fly on the wall at the New World Order meetings, right? You know, that I can kind of see what's going on. It seems as though that's the case. We all know Trump's a Zionist big time. He's supporting Israel right now at the worst possible time in history to support Israel, if there's ever a good time. You know what I mean? But this is definitely, you know what I'm saying? This is definitely the worst time. And so it seems as though he's definitely an NWO puppet. Now, he's got a few years to go in his term. Will he get rid of the Federal Reserve? Will he replace the banking system with an interest-free banking system? Will he replace taxation with a labor-backed currency? If he was a real leader, he would do these things for the American people. You know what I'm saying? And he would definitely change the demographic of the United States of America and get rid of some invaders. You know what I'm saying?
But he can't even say the word white. You know that, right?
Well, that's his problem. He should.
Well, it's our problem.
Well, it actually is. But as long as he's working for the other team, it doesn't matter what he says, because he'll just be lying to you anyway. You know what I'm saying? And that's the thing. I don't trust that man at all. I mean, I want America to have a good leader. You know what I mean? I don't even want to have to do this myself. You know what I mean? I wish we had good people here, but we don't have that right now. And it's evident by their legislation that there's big problems. Like, he might throw you a bone here and there. That's what controlled opposition does. Otherwise, they wouldn't be controlled opposition. They have to, you know. The Pied Piper's got to play his flute, and he's going to have people follow him. And, you know, every once in a while, you know, he's going to walk into the trap, you know, and that's what it is. That's what they're for. They're supposed to look real sweet. They attract all the flies, you know, and then they stomp on him when the right time comes. It's a big deal, this controlled opposition. Basically, he's an enemy agent at this point if he's working for Israel. And that's how I look at these leaders. They're not, like, basically, it's treason. And genocide is a bit worse than treason, you know, when they're trying to actually destroy your people physically. And that's a big deal to me, you know, and that's why I went to jail, because I stood up against people like this, you know.
Right. So who are the leaders who are not owned by Israel?
I don't know one single one. Otherwise, I'd join them. Like, if the PPC was any good and I had faith in them, I would join their party if they let me. But no. I know that they're bullshit. They're not right. Someone warned me about swearing. I got to take it easy, you know, the lesser words. But yeah, so they're not legitimate, I don't think. I think the people that support the PPC are fine people. They really are. I believe they want freedom, a lot of these people. But the organizers, just like the truck convoy organizers, I think they're a little suspect to me. That's all.
Okay.
We have no political party. It's a growth industry right now, and it's in high demand. Honest leadership and good representation is in high demand right now in Canada, and I want to fill that gap. I want to take all that market share and exploit it for the benefit of the Canadian people, and also to be an example to the world economically. If we can manage that, it'll be fantastic. Then we'll have a lot of explaining to do around the world why Canada can have the best services that money can buy without having to charge taxes to the people of Canada. That would be quite a thing for the people to explain. I'd like to see Trump try to explain that.
Do you think that, you know, a lot of people look at Germany as, you know, an economic success story under the Third Reich, which obviously it was. Hitler was Time's Man of the Year, Time Magazine's Man of the Year in 1938. For that reason, that he took a country where there were 6 million unemployed and they turned it into a powerhouse because they got off the Jew banking system, which is obviously the main reason why they had to take him out and destroy the entire country and the entire world. And we are suffering from that in the current day. Do you think that, like right now in the United States, there's only one sitting congressman from Kentucky, Tom Massey, who openly talks out against Israel slash Jew money, and he doesn't take any money from AIPAC, supposedly. I haven't dug that deep into it. But with one person in the entire United States, which is obviously, as we saw, the largest economy in the world by far, you know, and the way that the powers who should not be utilize their resources to squash anybody who says anything about them. We can use you as an example. You know, we can use Kanye West, who, you know, has a different name now, whatever. We can use anybody, really. Look at that talking head, Rick Sanchez, who was on CNN or MSNBC or one of those things. And all he said on a private radio broadcast, well, it was public, but I mean, he was on his own time, was that he didn't believe that Jews are an oppressed minority. And of course, they dropped the hammer on him and vanquished him to Russia Today. I don't know if he's still on there, but at least he was. If we look at anyone who says anything about them, them with triple parentheses around the word them, the, you know, the entire force of their media, of their puppets, their tools, of their money is thrown at the person. Even Massey was attacked by Trump. And, you know, the so-called Judeo-Christianity has, you know, innumerable zombies in its grip. You know, how do you plan on breaking through the spell that's been cast on these imbeciles to wake them up to the truth and convince them that they need a leader like you to pull them out of the mess that they clearly don't think they're in?
Well, I think a lot of hard work and a lot of good messaging and a lot of decency is going to, you know, help a lot there. And I'm going to try and get people to help. And I think they're quite willing to do so. I was amazed at the amount of volunteers I had while I was in jail. amazed at how many people asked to help. I didn't get numbers and names from everyone, but I was amazed. Even a black fella called me the good Hitler when I was there. It was pretty good. It was a nice thing because I explained things to them. We were in a big room waiting to go to court, and they asked me what was going on, so I let them know it. And when I was done speaking, these guys, basically, I won the day there. And it seems like I've got a bit of an ability to do this now. Even the guards, everybody that seems to be around me, they like what I'm doing, and they want me to continue. This negative messaging might help us in the future to expose how dishonest the media is, which people are getting the message already, right? The COVID really helped to wake people up about the media. But there's still a lot of people out there. We're probably maybe just under half, I think, as far as getting the message out to people, as far as the television being dishonest. And I think that Mr. Massey should start making hats and T-shirts that say Massey in 28, you know? And yeah, because he seems like the guy. I don't know him personally, but if he's, you know, you can only judge a fruit or a tree by the fruit that it bears. And Mr. Massey's fruit seems to be pretty good and pretty nutritious for the American people. They should be gobbling down his fruit and rejecting the, you know, the poison berries from the rest of the folks.
Yeah, let's take a look at Massey real quick.
I'm a fan.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. I don't
I'd
know
love to be the Prime Minister of Canada if he's the president. Wow. Fortress North America. Bring it on, baby.
I don't know if Massey is what's the word I'm looking for? I guess charismatic enough to pull something off like that. Right. Have you seen him publicly speaking at all?
No, I don't know if I've even seen him before. So this is the first image I think I've ever seen of the man.
Okay, let me bring it up here if I could.
Judging by his appearance, he shouldn't have a problem selling a conservative agenda, though. Like a true conservative, you know, like a traditionalist. He seems like that's what he is by looking at him. Just, you know, if I had to judge this book by its cover, that's what I'm thinking. He's got a good appearance.
Yeah, let me bring him up here real quick.
He does not look shady at all.
Thomas.
Speaking of which.
Massey. Do you see that right there?
I do.
Okay. All right. Was born in 71. American politician and engineer. All right. He's been rep in Kentucky since 2012 in northeastern Kentucky. All right. He was a judge executive for a year or so. He founded a startup company based in Massachusetts, where he previously studied at MIT. Known for his advocacy of limited government, fiscal responsibility, and individual liberties, often aligning with libertarian principles, been described as libertarian Republican, member of the Tea Party movement, described himself as a constitutional conservative. The federal government should be strictly limited by the Constitution. He was born in West Virginia and grew up in Kentucky. And his wife, of course, just recently died. His father was a beer distributor. All right, bachelor's of science in electrical engineering and a master's in mechanical engineering from MIT. So obviously he has brains. And he founded a company. He was a judge executive, whatever that is. That's a county judge, an elected official in Kentucky. And he campaigned for then U.S. Senate candidate Rand Paul, and he resigned as a judge in 2012. And there you go. He got into Congress, and he was on a couple of committees. Of course, to get on committees, you have to actually pay for them. You don't just get appointed to the big committees. You have to pay for them. In 2014, Massey voted against a bill. So 2014, so 11 years ago, in March, voted against a bill to name Israel an American strategic partner. He voted no because the bill would have subsidized green energy companies in Israel. So this is the way these scumbag politicians do it, right? They classify somebody as, in this case, an American strategic partner, which lets the funds flow to scam companies in Israel. He said he would not support subsidies for American green energy companies, let alone foreign ones. But no surprise, the bill passed 4-12 to 10. And let's see what else he did in regard. You know they're going to have Israel stuff here because that's what they do. Okay.
Here you go. It's interesting how often it comes up in this article. Let's see.
In 2019, so almost 6 years ago, he was the only Republican among 17 members of Congress to vote against a House resolution opposing efforts to boycott Israel and the global BDS movement. All right, let's continue. He voted against an act which would increase by 8,000 the number of special immigrant visas for Afghan allies of the U.S. military during its invasion of Afghanistan, thanks to you know who. All right. Seems like he's swimming against the tide here, huh? Okay.
Did a great job.
Yeah. In May 2022, so about 3 years ago, he was the only member of the House to vote against a non-binding resolution denouncing anti-Semitism and opposition to Israel. He tweeted that he voted against the bill because it promoted censorship. No kidding. All right. He co-sponsored a motion to vacate filed by Marjorie Taylor Greene in an attempt to oust House Speaker Mike Johnson. He faced heavy criticism from Trump this March. So just recently, less than 2 months ago. Thank you. This is what Trump said. Thank you to the House Freedom Caucus for just delivering a big blow to the radical left Democrats. I guess the Republicans could be called the radical right, radical right Republicans because of their support for the Jews in Israel and their desire to raise taxes and shut our country down. Sometimes it takes great courage to do the right thing. Congressman Thomas Massie of beautiful Kentucky is an automatic no vote on just about everything, despite the fact he has always voted for continuing resolutions in the past. He should be primaried, and I will lead the charge against him. This is Trump saying this. He's just another grandstander who's too much trouble and not worth the fight. He reminds me of Liz Cheney before her historic record-breaking fall, loss. The people of Kentucky won't stand for it. Just watch. Do I have any takers? So obviously Trump doesn't like anyone who opposes his policies on Israel and the Jews, right?
It seems as though that's the case. I think Trump's going to make Massey the president pretty soon if he keeps highlighting Mr. Massey's position against the Zionist state that's genociding the Palestinians right now. And if people look into 9/11, they might have a different opinion about Israel as well. So Mr. Massey's in a good position to become the president right now. If Trump keeps giving him this kind of publicity and promoting him this way, you know, just give it a bit of time. Mr. Massey may be your next president if he wants to do it.
Well, the people have had, you know, over 20 years to look at 9/11, and they still don't get Building 7. So
it's true, Dave. Yeah. That October 7th thing just happened a couple of years ago. With what's going on, they're hanging the burned up corpses of little children from trees right now. The Israelis are, so you know, just give them time.
It's still not waking the goyim up.
I know, Dave. I know. It's good. You know, I'm not saying that it's a done deal. We have to.
No, I know you're not. I'm just saying.
Most perfect, brother. That's what makes it exciting. You know what I mean? It's you know, if making change was easy, we'd have change by now.
Of course. You know what if the Palestinians hung up the corpses of burned Israelis? What would happen?
Well, then that would eliminate all this that we're saying right now. All these emotions would flip back to the Israelis, right? They'd you know, they would definitely lose their market share of support from the world if they did things like that. As long as the Palestinians keep taking punches and absorbing the beating, they're going to be getting a lot of publicity that's going to help. Maybe not them, because they might be eliminated from the earth if the Israelis exterminate every one of them. But they're going to do the world a favor, and they might save the world with their suffering. It's a real sad thing to say. But, you know, the world is starting to look at the Israelis a whole different way right now. That may encourage people to investigate some other matters as well. If people like you continue to put up good, you know, messaging, right, and have a place where people can actually speak freely, which you've done, and your friends and all these people and all of us too, right? It's great that you've created this video sharing platform, Dave. It's what a timely thing. It's almost like an act of God, Dave, that you've done it at this time in history. It's amazing that the timing is amazing on what you've done and your friends, your helpers.
Yeah, it was. It wasn't just me, obviously, but yeah, it was a bunch of people. In 2020, so 5 years ago, in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic, remember, this is Ziopedia, Massey forced the return to Washington of members of the House who were, who were sheltering in place in their districts by threatening a quorum call that would have required an in-person vote on the $2.2 trillion aid package that passed the Senate by a 96-0 vote. Before Massey arrived on the House floor, just two representatives were present to pass the bill by voice vote. On the House floor, Massey said he was trying to make sure our republic doesn't die by unanimous consent in an empty chamber. Massey received criticism for endangering members of Congress by requiring them to gather amid a pandemic. After Massey's successful push, Trump said Massey should be removed from the Republican Party, calling him a third-rate grandstander. John Kerry, whose real name is Cohn, quipped that he tested positive for being an asshole. Representative Sean Patrick Maloney tweeted, "Representative Thomas Massey is indeed a dumbass." Representative Dean Phillips called his actions a principled but terribly misguided stunt. In a phone interview with some creature from Politico, Massey responded in jest to Trump's calls for his removal, stating, "I take great offense to that. I'm at least second rate." Some Republicans defended Massey. Paul Gosar, have you seen that guy, Paul Gosar?
No.
Yeah, he could barely, like, you know, function from Arizona. Called him a good man and a solid conservative. And Chip Roy, that's the guy from Texas, said, and they all support Israel, of course, said Massey was defending the Constitution today by requiring a quorum. quorum. So Massey knows how to use, obviously, the what are known as Robert's Rules of Order, which Congress, you know, abides by. But you can see that he's facing like a tidal wave of opposition. And here you go. He faced allegations of anti-Semitism after comparing vaccine mandates to the Holocaust. He later deleted the tweet. And in January of 2022, so about 3 years ago, he faced more criticism for a Twitter attack on Anthony Fauci, featuring a quote by neo-Nazi Kevin Alfred Strom, believing the quote to have originated from French. So that's that quote about, if you want to know who rules over you, find out who you can't criticize. And it didn't originate from Voltaire. But you see how they tie it in to everything. And you could see the committees that he was on in the 118th Congress. And the 118th Congress was from January 23, I guess, to 25. I guess we're in the 119th Congress. So he was on the Committee on Rules, Committee on the Judiciary, and the Committee on Transportation. And we can see that. Let's get to Israel and anti-Semitism. You know it's got to be in here. Here it is. Massey has been outspoken against the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, AIPAC, and its influence on American politics. And in December of 23, which was, of course, a little while after that fake October 7th attack, tweeted out a meme appearing to contrast Zionism with American patriotism. In May of last year, so about a year ago, AIPAC and allied groups announced a $300,000 ad. That's like pocket change for them. Ad campaign targeting Massey for perceived anti-Israel views while not officially endorsing any primary challenger. Massey responded by posting a poll on X, asking his followers whether AIPAC should be forced to register as a foreign agent. Of course, even that in and of itself, it's so obvious that they should be, but they've been able to buy off the traitorous politicians to ever prevent that from happening. In a June 2024 interview, so less than a year ago, he claimed that each Republican member of Congress, besides himself, has an AIPAC person. And he did that on Tucker Carlson's show, that directs them to vote in line with the positions of the organization. And in July of last year, he boycotted Netanyahu's address to Congress, calling it political theater. He was the only Republican to do so. So this AIPAC person thing was revealed long time ago by Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney from Georgia, who revealed the Pledge of Allegiance to Israel, that if you wanted to get any of AIPAC's money, you had to pledge allegiance to Israel. And she, of course, said she would not do that because she's an American. And AIPAC then put up the money to get her out, and they were successful. And the clown that they backed was another black American by the name of Hank Johnson. And that was the lawmaker in D.C. who, during a hearing, was concerned that too many U.S. troops on the island of Guam would force it to physically tip over because of the weight of the troops. So AIPAC doesn't care who they put in there to defeat someone. And she's very bright, Cynthia. I've met her. I was at that JP conference with her. She's brilliant. But the only thing that matters to AIPAC is to get someone out. Unfortunately, they weren't able to get Massey out yet. Okay. Let's see if there's anything else in here that talks about. There must be, right? There must be something else about Israel, because that must be the center piece of any criticism against this guy. Let's see.
It's amazing how much American legislation deals with Israel. I'm amazed.
Oh, yeah.
And if Massey was around in 1913, maybe he would have been the opposing vote when it came to, you know, creating a Federal Reserve Bank. So they wouldn't have been able to claim that it was unanimous at that point.
Yes. It looks like Josh. All right. It looks like Josh got us a video of Hank Johnson. Hopefully that is the video of this clown talking about Guam. Let's see. Let's see what we got here.
I hope he's laughing after he said what he said.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's incredible. It's just, it's incredible. All right. Let me bring that in. And I don't know if
electing,
you ever saw this before.
Electing Republicans and Democrats and conservatives and liberals is just as bad as, you know, is what that guy said. It's just as dumb. You know, it's ill-advised to do that.
Yes.
Amazing.
Okay, let's take a look at Hank Johnson. This is the clown that AIPAC brought in to take over Cynthia McKinney's position in the House.
This is a island that at its widest level is, 12 miles from shore to shore, and at its smallest level location, it's 7 miles between one shore and the other. Is that correct?
I don't have the exact dimensions, but to your point, sir, I think Guam is a small island.
Very small island, and about 24 miles, if I recall, long. So 24 miles long, about 7 miles wide at the least widest place on the island, and about 12 miles wide on the widest part of the island. And I don't know how many square miles that is. Do you happen to know?
I don't have that figure with me, sir. I can certainly supply it to you if you'd like.
Yeah, my fear is that the whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize.
We don't anticipate that. The Guam population, I think, currently about 175,000. And again, with 8,000 Marines and their families, it's an addition of about 25,000 more into the population.
The whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize.
We don't anticipate that. The
So you got to see it. Yeah.
That was amazing. It's funny. The Admiral was real polite. He's real professional, whoever that was.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was a good call at his part. He's a real professional. That guy. He didn't laugh.
Because he can't believe it. He can't believe it.
Done. He's probably waiting for the guy to start laughing.
And this is in Congress. Oh.
That's who runs America right now, folks.
Wow.
And look who elects these people. Okay, that's the thing. That's the people have to be. It is unbelievable. It's amazing to me what's happening in our world. It's crazy. It's crazy town. The whole world is mental. And you know, wow. It's just. But if we don't do anything, it's just going to continue, Dave. So as hopeless as it seems, carry on.
Bushmaster 6A says, I've snorkeled at Guam. The water there is amazing. Real coral forest. I've been to Guam, too, in the Navy. And, you know, I didn't get to snorkel there, but very nice. Yeah, it didn't flip over when I was there. But amazing. All right, let's do this because I didn't do it earlier. That if anyone wants to give Les a call. All right, let me bring that up real quick. And I'm going to give instructions if anybody has a question for Les and they want to call in. Of course, you can do it in the chat, but you can also call in from your phone. And whether or not it your number appears on the screen, I can't say for sure if it will or will not. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. So if you're concerned about that, don't call. Here's the PIN number. If you go to the website, ftjmedia.com, right on the top, there's a call-in button, and you can then click that, and all the numbers around the world will come up. You call whatever number is associated with your country, and then you put in that PIN, followed by the pound sign, and you can ask Les a question if you would like to do that. Les, I played a video the other day on the show I did with Mason of the JNS International Policy Summit, the Jewish News Syndicate Summit. Did you happen to see any of that?
I did. I saw a couple of speakers. I saw the lady and I saw the other video with the two gentlemen that were speaking.
Yes. Yes. How did you like that?
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I don't know if folks saw that here in the show yesterday, but let's see if we could play that here. All right. Hold on one second. Let me bring it up.
They're losing the digital war, though, so that's what they're saying. But we'll see.
Yeah.
One could only hope.
Yes. I mean, I think they are. But in the meantime, they've got all the money in the world, and, you know, they can, you know, use it in any way that they want, and they do.
So, Dave.
Yes, sir.
If you thought there was no hope, would you be doing what you're doing right now?
No, of course not.
Exactly.
Yes. Of course not. There's always hope, right?
And the amount of effort you're putting into this goes to show that you think this is a battle that we can win, and I'm the same.
Hope springs eternal. So, yeah, I'm sure that, you know, it's possible that we can win. But I like to point out, you know, the odds that we're against. You know, you need to know, not you, but anybody would need to know what they're up against. You know, instead of blindly going at something and expecting results, because we're up against a lot, obviously, here. And, you know, we need to know that and we need to be prepared. Like they say, that saying, expect the best, prepare for the worst. You've heard of that. Yeah.
I've also heard that glory is in the struggle. So this is pretty glorious.
Yes. Yes. Yes, exactly. That it's funny, you know, sometimes the videos play and sometimes they don't. And this is one of the times that they're not.
Like some hardcore rats are out there doing
this. Exactly. Exactly. So it's, you know, and it happens on YouTube. And I'm going to try one more time to see if we could get it going. And because it's definitely worth it to see this particular organism, I think. And let me go here. And there she is. Yes. Okay. So we got it. So let's bring it up.
Yeah, it was a pretty greasy speech that lady delivered. It was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Yeah,
they're good, aren't they?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, look it up with my eyes and what I know now. I wasn't, you know, I was repelled by what they said, but
oh, absolutely. Here you go.
Most fearless commentators the Jewish people have today. She regularly addresses the failures of Europe, yet remains hopeful that the Jewish people and Judeo-Christian values can and must prevail. I present to you now my friend and colleague, Melanie Phillips.
Hello, everybody. I've come to talk to you today about Israel's secret weapon. October the 7th threw down a challenge to the West. Would it choose civilization or barbarism? The West did not choose civilization. And the reason is that the West no longer understands what civilization is. What we've all been living through since October the 7th is not just a threat to Israel's survival. It's also an existential threat to the West and a war against civilization itself. Israel's experience over the last terrible year has told the West this in many different ways, but the West has not been listening. On the contrary, incredibly, the elites in the West have painted the most just war possible into aggression and war crimes by Israeli victims of war crimes, aggression and depravity. The way the West has accepted patently ludicrous falsehoods about this war as true has been unhinged. And we're not talking about demonstrators on the streets or on campus. Opinion polling reveals that nearly half of young Americans now support Hamas. In Britain, people are losing their childhood friends just because they've posted onto Facebook a picture of themselves on holiday in Israel. People are not prepared to give Israel's side even the time of day. The narrative is now that the default position in public debate among Britain's cultural elites is that Israel is a rogue state guilty of war crimes. Such double standards, demonization, and systematic lies are applied to no other people, nation, or cause on earth. It's a level of obsession and hysteria that suggests a pathology is at work. But it's across the West. It's as if both Hitler and Stalin have achieved posthumous victory through mass brainwashing in demonization of the Jewish people, enforced by an intelligentsia punishing anyone who dares challenge the lies. So what's caused the West to erupt like this? Well, to unpick it, I would suggest we should go back to October 7 and ask ourselves why that happened. Why were the Israeli defenses breached so catastrophically? Well, obviously, many reasons contributed to that. But I would suggest that one reason we need to consider is this, that the Israelis had told themselves a fantasy. The Israeli elites had told themselves that Hamas no longer wanted war because they wanted to shore up support from the Gazans. It's as if a murderous tyranny were Jeffersonian Democrats. How could the Israelis have been so blind? Because its military and security elites fell into a Western trap, believing that everyone in the world was like them, governed by reason and self-interest. This arrogant delusion may have been the result of half the IDF top brass having been taught at Harvard. Well, let's hope that Israel has now woken from this trance, but the West is still telling itself the same fantasy. It cannot see that the war against Israel is an Islamic holy war against first Israel and then the West. It cannot see the Islamic threat against itself in the West. It cannot see the steady advance of Islamization of Western nations through both the democratic process and threats and intimidation. It tells itself instead that Islamic extremism is nothing to do with Islam, that opposition to mass immigration is racist. Holding Muslims accountable for the misdeeds of a large minority in that community is Islamophobia. It cannot see that what's happening on the streets and the campuses is not just demonstrations against Israel, but jubilant and ecstatic demonstrations of control and power over the West, on their way to conquer it for Islam. In London and in Brussels, in New York and in Toronto, Muslims are praying in large numbers in the streets. They have plenty of mosques. They're praying in the streets to show that they are taking control of that country. And they believe they are taking control. And what does the West say in response to this? It's freedom of expression. Europe is losing its identity through mass immigration, particularly of Muslims who refuse to integrate and who expect Western culture to adapt to Islam instead. Why can't the West see this? Because the West has told itself for decades that it's racist to think people from the developing world can do any wrong. The default position of the Western liberal is that the people from the developing world are oppressed by the West, and because they are victims, they can do no wrong, while the West, being their oppressors, can do nothing right. And Israel is considered one of the oppressors, because under this ideology, Jews can never be victims because they control everything, the finance, law, the media, industry. And so at its core, the default position of the Western liberal is deeply anti-Jew. Ignoring the threat to itself, the West is now blaming Israel instead for defending itself against that same threat. We've all gone through the looking glass. How can this have happened? Well, to understand this, we have to see this in the context of what the West has been doing to itself. For decades, it has subjected itself to an onslaught on its core institutions and values. Having said that the West was born in sin, it's had to destroy its core values and institutions. The Western nation state was held to be the source of division and war. It had to be superseded by transnational institutions and laws, the UN, the International Criminal Court, international law itself. There was no such thing as truth, only what is true for me. Well, if there's no such thing as truth, there's no such thing as lies, and so lies can be accepted. Everything is personal opinion, feelings trump facts. Who actually is the aggressor and who is the victim is irrelevant. The only victims are those who are not in the West's ruling class. In this reaction to October 7 in the West, we have seen the loss of conscience, justice, and rationality. We can only understand this if we understand that what the West has done to itself over the past half century is to collapse its own conscience, justice, and rationality. But conscience, justice, and rationality are in fact Jewish values. The unprecedented onslaught against the Jews has occurred because the Jews are central to Western civilization, a society against which the West itself has so self-destructively turned. October the 7th turbocharged the West's decades-long process of cultural suicide. What should the Jews do about it? Well, many things. First of all, the Jewish community should stop telling ourselves the same kind of lies that have consumed the West. Too many Jews nod along to this anti-Jewish thinking because they have never learned, I'm afraid to say, what Judaism is. We need to learn as a Jewish community to move from defense to offense, from the back foot to the front foot. We need to start proclaiming truths which many Jews find too uncomfortable and think extremist. Truths such as everything that Israel does is in accordance with international law, that the Jews are the indigenous people of the land, the whole land, that the Arabs are the colonialists, that there is no such thing as the Palestinians. That the Palestinian cause was invented only to steal the Jews' identity and history in the land from them. That the Jews alone have legal and historical right to the land. And that anyone who supports the Palestinian cause is supporting Nazi-style demonization of the Jews, ethnic cleansing, and genocide. And that applies to every Western liberal. And beyond this, Israel has a unique means to stop the West from going off the edge of the cultural cliff in the way that it is doing, because the unique selling point of the Jewish people is cultural survival. That's what we do. Every culture that's tried to destroy us has vanished while the Jewish people has survived. What's kept us going through the centuries? Staying true to what we are. We have remained attached to it because we recognize that the scaffolding of laws and precepts in that culture has produced the best way to live. It gives a meaning and purpose to life. It builds community. And we have recognized that for a people to have a future, they have to remain connected to their past. That is why the heroic soldiers of the IDF say in terms they feel the shades of the previous generations of Jews pushing them into battle. It's why even secular conscripts have worn tzitzit under their battle dress, ritual fringes under their battle dress, next to their hearts, because they understand they're not just defending their country, they are fulfilling the sacred duty of defending the Jewish people and ensuring that it continues to live. And this is why Israelis, unlike the rest of the West, are having on average 3 children, 3 babies per woman. They want to have children because they want to have an Israeli future. They want their children to continue the story of the Jewish people because they understand that the Jews are a great nation, that they stand for all the good things in the world, and that Israel is the fulfillment of that tremendous role. That's why they fight and die for this land, because they are fighting for a people they deeply care for. It is an act of love. So, in conclusion, what Israel is teaching the West, its secret weapon that it is trying to hand the West, what it's teaching the West is that if a culture is to survive, it has to love itself enough to take the measures that ensure it will continue. It has to love itself if it wants to survive. That's why Israel is going to win this terrible war, why it will not just survive, but will emerge stronger and greater. The same cannot be said of the West. The West is paralyzed before the Islamist death cult that threatens it, because the West is itself gripped by a cultural death wish. The Western culture that stands against the Jews is going down. The West will survive only if it decides to love itself and if it decides to love us, the Jewish people, instead of disdaining us and trying to erase what makes the Jewish people special and what's made the West special too. This is the Jewish moment. Israel understands this. Much of the Arab world has come to understand it too. Now it's time for the West and for diaspora Jews to understand it as well. Israel's secret weapon for saving the West is just 2 words that have saved the Jewish people throughout all these centuries. What are those 2 words? Choose life. Thank you very much.
How'd you like that beauty?
I don't know if I've ever heard that many lies in one presentation in my life.
Yep.
I'm amazed. I'm actually amazed at that. I was like, wow, that's like, I, you know, they wash over me as they go. I just make note of it as it goes. I get a sense of it, right? But I thought it was unbelievably bad.
Yeah, it's worth watching over and over again because you have to wonder, does this thing actually believe that? Or...
I don't.
Right? Or she's just talking. Do you think it actually believes that?
I don't know how anybody could actually believe like most of what was said there. I really don't think so, Dave. If you have a pulse, I think it'd be hard to believe that.
I think it does. I think it believes it. Yeah.
Saturday does. That's, or she does, whatever that is. Yeah.
Yeah.
She is.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Yes. Okay. Shameless Wise says chance favors the prepared. Lisa from Germany, international Jewry wants to set the agenda for international politics by now in the open. They have done that for centuries in secret. Jews talk about Judeo-Christian values that must prevail. They mean the Jewish Talmudic satanic values they keep forcing on the Christians. And the puppet traitor, President of the EU Commission, von der Leyen, said it openly. The EU has Talmudic values. Of course, that's the hidden reality now coming out in the open. The EU was created by Freemasonic satanic Jews to destroy the sovereignty of the white European nation states, dissolve the nations themselves. Of course, it's happening. The EU and NATO are transnational organizations created and controlled by U.S., British, Israelish Jews. Les?
Yeah, it's all part of globalization. They're compartmentalizing people in the world, creating fewer and fewer autonomous regions, we'll say. And that'll make it easier for them to govern with fewer different governments to have to consult all the time. If they can consolidate everything into one big world government, then you only need one big world government to run it, instead of having to deal with all these smaller countries. That's why they're compartmentalizing all these geographic areas. You know, they're even the BRICS and the EU, and maybe they're going to try to make America and Canada one country. It seems like that's the discussion that's on the table now, right? So it's just one more step towards the globalization of the earth. And once we get one world currency and it's printed by one group of people, it's going to be more difficult to undo the harm. Nothing's irreversible, though. So if the Roman Empire fell, then these guys can lose their edge as well. You know what I mean? Because they had things sewed up pretty good in Rome there for quite a while. It's up to us people that are on the field right now to keep pushing hard to maintain the sovereignty of our nations.
Yep, absolutely, of course. And I'll repeat it again. Nothing I say is meant to, discourage you, Les. It's just to toughen you up.
Good job, Dave. You're like that guy. Come on, Rocky, chase the chicken.
Right. I'm like a coach. Right. I got to beat the shit out of you for a while.
Right.
So
that's right. A couple of calluses later, I'll be tougher.
Yeah. you only served 2 years in one of the most disgusting prisons. So I think you're pretty tough as it is right now, buddy.
Luckily, I made it.
Yeah, absolutely. Lucky for all of us. Yeah, this is from Thomas. What's that?
There were a lot of good fellas in there and a lot of good Canadians. And they once they saw what this fight was about, they're in it. So this is going to be pretty good. These guys are men of action. This should be funny.
Let's do it. This is from Thomas. The new word, twunt. Because sometimes twat and cunt just don't cut it.
Wow.
I like that. That's nice. That is nice. Twunt. Thank you, Thomas. That's very good.
It's the edge out keyword for sure.
Yeah, right, exactly. Very good. Very good. Twunt. Never heard that one before. All right, let's go back to the chat. And let's see what we got here. Floods manager says, Dave Gaharry, thank you for your work, sir. Same goes for President Borey.
Well, thank you very much, Floods manager. Might Floods be a presidential thing in the future. I'd like to make Canada a republic.
Don't forget about your buddies here.
That's it. Well, we'll be a good example to you guys. And if, who knows what could happen in the future? You need some help one way or the other? Don't worry. If I'm the guy, you're going to get some help, boys. Slide a few things across the border. Yeah, well, you need it, boys.
Yes.
Don't worry. We make lots of guns in Canada. At least we will in the future. Don't even worry about that, Jet. Tanks, whatever you guys need, man.
Do you guys have an arms industry?
We do. We from my knowledge of it all, we export quite a bit of our armament to America. I know that we used to make parts of some of your most secretive aircraft in Canada, or not secretive, but basically most advanced aircraft. We make some of the parts here. I ran into a couple of facilities where there were no signs out front, and someone having a smoke told me what they made. And I went, wow, that's pretty amazing stuff. So I'll keep that down because nobody needs to know. But basically, we make a lot of good stuff here, and we're going to make more if I become the president of Canada someday instead of the prime minister.
Right.
America, you're going to have a good buddy up north, let me tell you.
Right.
Yeah, we're going to watch out for our American cousins if we can. Or hopefully if something happens here. We'll see who gets to the finish line first and becomes the right arm of the free world.
Excellent. So let's take a look here. I'm curious. And, of course, it still is a white country, Canada. So I guess I should have known that there is a pretty big armaments industry there. Before we do, let's look at the chats. Hold on. Take off that auto scroll. And Shameless Wise asks, because everything has to do with Israel, right? Yeah. Josh, thank you for all those images. And FTJ. Bushmaster 6A, this is the nature of the subvertive or subversive. They're not that clever, just brazen. Yep. Well said. Shameless, the North American Union, Canada, U.S., Mexico, has been a plan for many years. Yes, sir. Bushmaster 6A, I'm friends with an 85-year-old New York Irishman who ran an Irish pub for 40 years. His favorite word is skunt. What is that, like slut and cunt? That is a nasty word, isn't it? Yeah. Right? Yeah, it is a nasty word. Let's good just take a
good club to have your golf bag sometimes.
You skunt. You nasty skunt. Wow. All right, hold on. Let's see. Canadian arms industry. Let's see. We got the Canadian arms industry is a significant global player, exporting a substantial portion of its produced military goods and technology. The industry employs over 60,000 and generates over 10 billion Canadian dollars in annual revenue, with exports accounting for roughly 60% of this. Canada's arms exports are primarily driven by ground vehicles and their components. While the United States is the largest export destination, Canada also exports to a variety of other countries, including Saudi Arabia, Ukraine, and the Netherlands. Canada's defense industry is closely integrated with the U.S. industry. So, $10 billion. What's the exchange rate now, Les? You know, for
it's probably 25%, like it usually is. It holds steady at that. So, you know, one Canadian dollar is worth three quarters in America.
Okay, so let's check it out here.
Oh, I like to make an appeal to the lords of war out there that make those armaments. Yes. If you guys help me to become the president or the prime minister of Canada, I'm going to send you guys a lot of work. And that's fair to say openly in front of the whole world. This isn't a secret deal. We're going to employ a lot of Canadians. We're going to make a lot of things to defend ourselves. We will be the right arm of the free world. And if America needs it, we're going to send them some stuff to those patriots down there if they have an issue with some, if Israel's tentacles start strangling them. And, we're gonna do what we can do. I want to bring back the manufacturing base in Canada, because I know that to defend ourselves, we're going to need machine tools to do this. And all the guys that are all those machinists out there, the electricians, the engineers, the chemists, you guys are going to have a lot of work in Canada if you make me your guy. I'm definitely your boy, fellas.
All right, there you go. And $10 billion Canadian dollars is right now $7.25 U.S. dollars. So just about what you said, Les.
Yeah, so, it usually hovers around that three-quarter mark is what our dollar's worth compared to what you guys have, right? So we'll see. And I like to strengthen the value of our dollar one day by reducing the value of homes and the cost of homes, you know, because once you control the printing of money, Dave, you control the debt too, buddy. And, if you can buy more with your paycheck, that means your dollar's worth more.
Right, exactly. And just to compare, Canada, which is $7.25 billion, their arms industry, the arms industry of the United States is at almost $320 billion.
Wow.
So it's over 40 times greater. It's huge. A lot of blood has been spilled because of the U.S. arms industry. And most of that blood are, of course, innocent civilians.
I was going to say it was spilled for the wrong reasons, unfortunately.
Yes, of course. Yes. It's always been that way. Lisa from Germany, globalization equals international communism, common turn.
Absolutely.
Zionism, Judaism, Talmudism, Luciferianism, Satanism. It's okay to be anti-satanic. It is a must.
On the other side of my block where I live, there's a street called Minturn Ave. And I think that's a short one. Yeah.
Right.
I never thought of it until I, you know, until I looked at, like, you know, until I learned a bit more.
Right.
I grew up with that name the whole time in the Comintern. Yeah, that's, it's unbelievable. It's like, it's on the same block that I live on.
Communist International. Yeah, absolutely. Right. And of course, the Goyim don't understand that, you know, Germany and other countries were opposing Comintern because they wanted to swallow up all of Europe and all of the world. And that is, you know, see, this is the thing. That's why it always gets back to this, Les, is that the Goyim are just so stupid. Here, I'll give you an example, okay? And again, I'm toughening you up, Les.
All right, Dave.
Even more. Right out of prison, I'm beating the shit out of you, all right? That's all you need, right? Okay. So yesterday, a guy comes over, a salesman. You know, they get, they you know, sometimes blanket the area here in this development with, you know, exterminator salesmen, roofing salesmen, whatever it might be. Security system salesman, blah, it never ends. And sometimes when the window's open and I see them walking up, I'll call them over to the window and say, what can I help you with? You know, and they'll kneel down and tell me, and I'll, you know, I give them a, you know, a fair shake to say what they have to say. But yesterday a guy came over about the roof, and what they did was, now, you know, they use drones for everything, right? So they could send up drones. You know, they got the little joystick and they send up the drone to map the roof to see how it looks. And of course, they want to sell you a new roof. And so he got done with it. It didn't take long. And, you know, we're sitting out on the porch and then my wife joined and she had said something, a couple of words. And of course, she has an accent because she's from what used to be called Czechoslovakia, right? Now it's the Czech Republic or Czechia. I mean, they can't figure out what they want to call themselves. But anyway, that country, right? And the guy asked, you know, where, whatever he said, I can't remember the exact, you know, where's your accent from or where are you from? And, you know, when people do say that, you know, we'll say like, yeah, go ahead and guess, right? And so this is a, I found out later, this is a 23-year-old white American, right? 23. So he was really flummoxed by the question. He was able to, you know, choke out the word Germany out of his mouth. And then that began, you know, the disaster for him. Because then I said, or she said, you know, close. I think I said close. Said, but you know, in that area. So, you know, what? Name some other countries in Europe. And I've seen these videos online, and you look at them, and you know, you go, could this be true? Or is the youth that this stupid?
Oh no!
And the guy didn't look stupid. Obviously, you know, he's a salesman, so he's got to think on his feet. And he eventually said Russia. I said no. I said Europe. You know, name some countries in Europe that would be around Germany. Complete blank stare, and he couldn't name any. And then my wife finally, you know, we couldn't believe it. He's like, I'm having a, you know, a brain wreck or something. I said, that's because you've been brain raped. And I got that from James Mason. And he's like, yeah, probably. I said, what countries are there in Europe? He had no fucking clue. None. So I said, you can't cheat, you know, because he was going to grab his phone. I said, okay, you know, I'm trying to help him. I said, who did the colonists fight in the Revolutionary War for their independence? No clue. I said, who did the United States gain independence from? Nothing. Could not think of it. Then he got out his phone. I'm not going to chim it, but he did. He brought up a map. And even with the map, it was a shitty map because I looked at it. He couldn't figure it out. So I remember those, you know, those videos, recent too, where, you know, there's people at spring break, you know, asking who did that specific question. Who did the, and I didn't ask it for that reason. I just wanted to give them a clue, you know, England, you know, and then get closer, you know, France and all that. He had no idea. So that's why I am focusing on this. And that's that's probably the biggest mistake I've made in my life in this arena, is assuming that the Goyim know something, or know at least, you know, a good amount to get them on the right track. And the fact of the matter is they don't. And of course, we can't use this one guy as, you know, proof that, you know, we're totally fucked. But I think this is something that can be, we can extrapolate from this 23-year-old who didn't even know that the United States got their independence from England. Couldn't identify more than one country in Europe, even with a map. And that's why I focus on this, because I want you to succeed, of course. But if we're not prepared for the absolute abysmal level of ignorance out there, you're just going to be wasting your words. You're going to be talking. If you got to start like from scratch. That's why these con artists like Carney, that's why they know how to approach the Goyim. They use Trump. They don't talk about, you know, complicated, I mean, name a country in Europe, complicated matters. They talk about simple things that, like those zombies, if that was true, those zombies can relate to that. So that's the only reason I bust your balls, Les. So I hope you know.
Good. I think of the same things as well, the same things that you discuss with me too. And I think we can use this kind of simplicity to our advantage, Dave. I mean, basically, people look at me as an independent candidate like I can't do anything, right? Which is pretty close to the truth. I can be like the honest presence, like a small honest presence in the House of Commons if I win, right? But really, I'm not even allowed to ask a question because I'm not a member of a party. It's a rule. It's crazy. All right. Now, if I form this party, which I plan on doing, and it's not a foregone conclusion, but I'm pretty sure we're going to get her done. All right. So this happens. Now, if we have a party and it's manned by a lot of people, if we come out with some simple policies that'll sound really good to people, like senior citizens, you know, like give them a good pension, things like this, like simple shit, or sorry, simple stuff. I've been warned about that. Anyway, so I'm taking advice from people. This is how I learned, right? So yeah, so if we can come out and just simply lay out what the benefits of voting for us are and mean what we're saying, and we will deliver, even if they seem too fantastic for people to believe like otherwise. But there's going to be a segment of the population that sees, look, there's a big party here. These guys are promising us this. This fellow seems honest, which I am, and I'm determined to give them what, you know, what I promised them. I'm going to honor everything I say. And it'll ask the people to back me up as well if things happen, right? This is for sure. So with this, we might be able to make change, Dave. I see this as a possibility. It's just a simple matter of just keeping the message super simple, showing people what's possible. They're going to maybe compare it to what they have to vote for, and I'm hoping they're going to vote for us. I'm going to just keep this thing simple, meat and potatoes, nothing fancy, and we should be able to do this. This is very doable in our time. And as more time goes on, they're going to see the people that are you know, lying to us are harming the entire world. They're going to see this over time. You know what I mean? If they pay even a little bit of attention, that Gaza thing is very hard to ignore. And that alone is going to help us a little bit. But we have to give the people, like you said, start right at the beginning. Just simple, simple, simple stuff. And remind them that they have the power to achieve all these things, despite what anyone else says. And if I actually end up in a debate with some of these globalist types that are really well established, the parts of the, you know, the present establishment, if I'm as good as I should be, I think I can defeat these guys in a debate. We'll see what happens. But I don't think we're going to have the opportunity because they certainly don't want to meet me on a level field of battle. That's for sure. But, you know, so what? We'll just exclude the other side of the message, which is the enemy message, and we'll just bombard the people with our message, despite the nonsense they see on the television. You know, they're losing market share. Their echo chamber shrinks every day, Dave, and ours grows every single day. We just have to buy the public enough time to catch up and defeat them. That's the thing, is time. Because they have plans, they have a schedule, and they are steering right now, but they are still afraid. And their countermeasures are indicating to us that we have more power than maybe a lot of us can imagine. And there's still the opportunity to save our people from these really bad folks. And I think that we can accomplish this. We just have to present things in a good way, not work backwards, not, you know, basically, you don't want to be shoveling your sidewalk in the wintertime and have someone walking up behind you and dumping the snow back on it. You know what I'm saying? So if we can unify our message and present it in a way where it's always a positive message to the public, we can win this thing and we can defeat the eternal enemy. And basically eliminate that name, because they won't be eternal any longer. They won't be our enemy, because we're going to be in command of our own destiny. And that's what we need to do.
Well, like they say, from your mouth to God's ears, right?
Or from God's mouth to our ears. You know, that's, you know, maybe that's how this is working. And maybe someone's whispered a little something in my ear, who knows, without me knowing. I just kind of, you know, because I never heard any voices, but basically, my hands are doing what maybe the Creator wants me to do. You know what I mean? So we'll see what happens.
I hope so, Les. Let's check out the chat, because it's time. All right. We've gone over two hours. So
Wow.
It's very good. Yeah. Lisa from Germany. Maybe the 23-year-old American unknowingly knows the real truth. No, Lisa, it doesn't. That America has never really gained independence from. No, definitely not. City of London, Mystery of Babylon, Money Changers, the Rothschild Kings, true rulers. Bushmaster 6A says, well said, Les.
Thanks very much, Bushmaster 6A. There's a mouthful. There you go, buddy. Thank you, sir.
Yes.
If you're a man. Thank you. I think you are.
Les, it was great to have you. Are we going to do next Friday?
Love to. I don't think I'll be employed by then, but let's hope. But we'll see. And yeah.
How's that going, that employment?
I just started looking again. I've got a few interviews lined up too, but I definitely am looking for work. Money's a real important thing to have, and we'll see what we can do. I have looked, you know, so we'll see.
I hope you get it, buddy.
Yeah, me too.
You've got skills as a machinist. And
honestly, I'd like to do something different for a change, but if industry, you know, wants my skills, I'll definitely, you know, provide them.
What are you looking to do different? Like, what are you thinking?
Just about anything, Dave. Honestly, I've been machining since I was 8 years old, and good. I've seen a machine shop, you know, I enjoy the culture. I, because you know something. So it's like being in a group of people with a group of people that know what they're doing. I'm not done learning in machine shop either. There's a lot for me to learn as well, even with all this experience I've had. So every day is an interesting day in a machine shop. Sometimes a little bit too interesting here and there, depends on what happens, but it's usually, you know, my success rate is very, very high, you know, at maintaining precise sizes and things like that. So yeah, I'm pretty good at what I do.
And the place you were at when they came to and kidnapped you, is, do you have any chance of getting back there, or is that place even open anymore?
No, it's closed. The auction occurred after I got out of jail, and I was fortunate to be able to pull my, well, he probably would have given my tools anyhow, but I was there to pull my tools out in person just days before the auction occurred. So what timing that was to get my measuring tools, which I may never ever need to use again. We'll see how it goes. I'm not really in love with that industry any longer because it doesn't really pay what it's worth. It's terrible. I'm better off doing a lesser job or something that isn't as skilled than making, almost the same amount of money doing it without the headaches and the responsibility and the danger as well. Machining is a very dangerous occupation, even when it's done safely. Using the best safety practices, it's not that safe. You're spinning a part in a lathe, and if that part comes out, basically you got a heavy projectile coming at you. And I've made parts for aircraft carriers and things like that were quite large. And these things aren't even the biggest things you can make. I mean, they're just moderate sizes, but it would only take a couple pounds worth of steel to cause a real mess, right? So you don't want that. Or you get wrapped up in the machinery and things like that. I mean, as a little child, I remember, I knew the risk for it. It was amazing to do the work. My dad obviously thought I had a lot of intelligence and maturity at that age to put me on a machine like that. He was not irresponsible at all. He knew I was capable, and I was. And what can I say? Child labor builds character if it's done right. And I was the son of a hard-assed, but a real kind Eastern European man, a real man. And that's who I grew up to be, kind of like my dad. He's still a bit better of a man than I am, but I can only try to fill his shoes.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly right. And Bushmaster 6A says machinists are a dying breed. And if that's true, that's sad because it sounds like it's a real specialty occupation. I hope you can get something, buddy. And I only wish the best for you. You know that.
Well, thanks very much, Dave.
All right. We will see you next Friday. And I hope you have a great weekend, Les. And
you too, Dave. Have a really good weekend. And good day to everybody out there. Have a good weekend.
Yes.
And I hope you come back on Friday to see us talk about something. Who knows what it's
going to be. I hope we don't, because I hope you get a job, but we'll keep doing this until you get a job.
Oh, that's right? For sure. It's a pleasure the entire time, too. It's real nice to be with you, Dave. You're a real good guy.
Thank you.
You're a solid, solid man. It's good to know you.
Likewise, my friend. And thank you for that lesson. Like you said, I'll echo your remark to the audience. Thank you for coming by and hang out at FTJ and continue to fuck the Jew.